You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Suns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Brendan Kalim, both are for Bright Side of the Sun. We're joining you after the Suns won last night, surprising on the road, 108-100 over the Nuggets. And real quickly, the three guys I want to talk about probably today, we're just going to do a quick pure recap today for our episode. And the three guys that really stood out, obviously Devin Booker had a big game again. He had his seventh of the season as far as 35-5 goes, finished with 30 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. His 15th concurrent scoring 30 or more. TJ Warren also finished with 25 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 assist on 11 of 17 shooting. And Josh Jackson in 16 points in 14 minutes. So between those three, and also we'll have other thoughts as well. But Brendan, what was your thoughts last night seeing the Suns pull off a really impressive road win last night?
Yeah, I mean, if anyone listened to the podcast we had the other day previewing this game yesterday, I think we both were in agreement it was going to be a loss just based on how well guys like Gary Harris did in the last one. And it kind of, they blew the doors off early, Denver did, in the last matchup between these two teams. But it was kind of the other way around last night. It was the Suns setting the tone early, scoring really well in the first quarter. Keeping it close, obviously, the Denver made a run at the end of that first quarter, and then they really were the ones that kind of blew the doors off in the second quarter and were able to keep them at bay throughout the rest of the game. It was a really, really impressive win. I think it's really honestly up there as one of the better ones of the season.
Yeah, as far as road wins goes, it seems like the Suns have very impressive road wins so far this season. Thinking off the top of my head, probably the outside of the one last night, maybe the one when TJ Warren scored 40 points in Washington, and then also when Booker scored 46 in Philly. Would you say that Denver is right alongside those two as the best ones?
I think so. I think when I like this team the best is when they're playing a more well-rounded game. So if I remember correctly, that game against Philly was Booker just went off in that fourth quarter. I think the bench played pretty well, took advantage of Philly not having too much depth. But the thing I liked about this game, obviously similar in a lot of the Suns' wins where a few guys have really big point totals and the rest of the team is pretty low. It's been a pattern for them quite a bit recently, but that's also the way the team's built, is Booker and Warren are going to carry a lot of that load. But I just think you got contributions up and down, having such a great game from Josh Jackson, seeing Isaiah Cannon come back, kind of pop back after his injury and looking out of sorts even since his return. And then I thought Tyson Chandler and Alex Len both did a pretty good job against Denver's front line, and they kind of posed some interesting matchup problems, as I mentioned in the preview. So I just think you look at it, and while other games might have been more exciting or impressive individual performances, this one really stood out to me as like just every guy chipping in pretty much up and down. And that was good to see.
It definitely was a team win for sure. And looking at the bench, the Suns finished with 44 points last night, led by Isaiah Cannon. And as you mentioned as well, we touched on a little bit on other episodes of the podcast as well, is with Cannon and Tyler Ulis, Cannon had another good game off the bench, seems to have very good chemistry with Booker. And Ulis, once again, seems to be struggling with his shot. It's a game-by-game occurrence with him. But as far as those two go, and you could really just segue into the bench production with last night's game as well, but between Ulis and Cannon, just how impressive has it been to see Cannon really almost do better than Ulis ever since he's been on the roster? Because at this point, it seems like I hope at this point we get to see Cannon and Booker a lot more often.
There's been way too many games over the course of this season where Tyler Ulis has made zero shots, and that's crazy to say about a starter in the NBA. And I know at this point, Ulis is only nominally a starter. He played 22 minutes, less than Cannon. I would say Booker probably played about that same amount of minutes as the lead ball handler. So Ulis is almost really like a third point guard at this point, even though he starts in a weird way. And so I think last night the biggest difference and the one to watch going forward between those two guys specifically is just Cannon. You're probably not going to shoot four of six from three every night, but I think we've known all along he's the better spot-up option next to Booker if you're going to play one of those two guys next to him if Daniels isn't on the court. And so he proved that last night, came out in a really big – I think he made his first four and then missed his last two, if I remember correctly. And you know, he's been a really improved passer, I think, since the Suns have picked him up. The other two things about the bench, I think we're going to continue to see going forward. I'm happy to see it, and also it makes a lot of sense just as far as upping his trade value is. Jared Dudley's been playing a lot more, looks to be in better shape, looks to be, you know, gaining some chemistry with this second unit, especially on defense, and has been helping this team. Biggest plus minus on the bench last night, even though he shot 1 of 6, that's always going to be true for Jared Dudley. But I'm sure the big one we're going to hit on is Josh Jackson. What did you think of him last night?
Yeah, he only played 14 minutes, and I wish he could have gotten a lot more, but obviously with TJ going off, it made a lot of sense to keep him out there alongside Booker, have some spacing. But to be honest, Jackson continues to be very impressive since that DMP turnout game against Atlanta. I think, now, I don't have the box in front of me as far as his averages go, but I think he's averaging close to 15, 5, and 3 over his last six or so games. So it's really impressive to see almost the switch that's been flipped with Jackson. I know he touched on our practice a couple days ago revolving around watching more film, and that really surprised me as far as – that kind of tells you a lot about Bill Self at Kansas, if anything, that they're not really watching film that much. But to be honest, I mean, it's very impressive. I know between both of us, I'm probably the biggest one on Jackson and the biggest proponent of Jackson taking that star leap here pretty soon. But I think that Jackson – this is a very positive sign for him, and there's still 30-plus games to go, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot more often of this. So as far as Jackson goes, what did you think about last night? Because to me, he continues to really show off with that spinning layup. Was really a personification of his hot streak right now.
Yeah, that was awesome to see. I think of the three misses, two of them were pull-up jumpers, and so that's just, you know, he's going to have to get more comfortable with it. I don't want to hide the fact that he did continue to do more of that stuff that we don't like, but at the same time, a tremendous amount of credit to him for putting it together these last, yeah, you're right, it's six games, and I think they showed during the broadcast yesterday that over his last five, obviously it was in the middle of the sixth game last night, he was, yeah, right about, I think he was 14 point something points, and then right about five assists and five rebounds, if I'm not mistaken, and like 47% shooting from the field, and so that's about the right amount of impact that you'd hope for it. And quietly, he's just kind of put it together, even though he has been on the bench for a few of those games. Last, I didn't see those contributions any other way, but you got to ride your hot hand if you have it, and he really did. Even on jump shots, 2 of 4 from three, looked real. There was one that almost swished through, it went right into the bottom of the net and kind of clanked around the rim and went straight down. A lot of his jumpers, even when they go in, are just on the edge of your seat, just crossing your fingers that it even gets close, and then sometimes it goes in. Last night it didn't look so bad, so I think there's definite signs of progress from him. He looks more comfortable shooting that shot, and even though last night wasn't an example, he's contributing across the board, and that's probably the biggest building block for him.
Now, two quick points I wanted to add there on Josh Rumo and the TJ Warren, and that's as far as a shot goes. I know Kansas and everyone's been mentioning it so far his first few months in Phoenix is his shot form and how it's progressing. I know it was very ugly when he first got drafted. I know going to the pre-draft workouts and the summer league workouts, his shot before they went to Vegas was pretty awful. And now at this point, it's still bad, but it's seen at least significant progress in my mind as far as the hitch goes. So it's probably hard to tell on TV, or we haven't really seen him that much up in person, that close up. But what's your thoughts on Jackson as far as the shot form goes? I feel like it's getting a little bit better.
Yeah, it just looks more consistent, I would say. I mean, I haven't sat down with it like that. Like, I know you are saying that it's hard to just kind of tell first glance, but the thing I notice more than anything is that it just looks more of the same every time, which I think is a big problem for a lot of young shooters. Is you know, the shot's a little bit further out, the three-point shot in the NBA, they're being guarded more effectively, and so they can't just kind of toss them up and hope for the best. They have to have that consistent release, they have to get their feet in the right position every time, and that's been, I think, a step forward for him. Is you know, he goes up and it looks the same every time he shoots. It looks a little bit more compact, less extra movement going on, which I think was a big knock on his form early on too, but Whatever it is, the results are definitely there in a pretty demonstrative way. So that's going to be, I mean, if the contributions like rebounding and assists and on defensive end are big, obviously the shot is just as big. And so it's great to see, and we'll see if it continues.
Yeah, over his last six games, he's shooting over 40% from three. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see if he keeps staying and taking those smart shots instead of being overly aggressive like he was before. But one last point on Jackson, we could also segue this into TJ, is how is Triano going to go about, because I know Jackson needs his minutes, but also we saw last night just how vital TJ Warren is to the Suns roster, just how quickly they were able to, whenever Booker was cold or if he wasn't at least guarded, I mean, tightly, Warren was able to get his usual 15, 20 points, last night finished with 25 points. So, like we said, Jackson only played 14 minutes, TJ played over 30, so how should Triano go about getting both those guys minutes? Because I know a lot of people want to see Jess get over 20 minutes a game, but when TJ's hot like he was last night, it's almost hard and impossible to when both guys can't really shoot the three.
I would say, from where I see it, the main rotation consistency and just things starting to look the way that we want them to night to night with who's playing and when they're playing and who they're playing with, it's probably just going to be after the trade deadline. I think this roster is going to look a little bit different by then, and it'll make it easier for guys like Josh Jackson, TJ Warren, even guys like Daniel House and Alec Peters to get on the court and do what they're good at. So I don't know. I mean, that's February 8th. That's like 2 weeks away. I know we'd like to see it happen sooner than that, but to me, especially with Dudley playing more recently, I think that's just a sign to me that it's probably going to continue in that direction for this next little while until things get sorted out on February 8th.
Yeah, that's a good point, because we've seen Jackson at consistent minutes, but if he keeps showing that he's actually producing and turning that corner, so to say, I think he's going to be able to get 20 minutes consistently moving forward just off his production alone. But one final point there, as Marquese Chriss was out again last night with a strained hip, we might as well touch on this real quick. Just, we touched on it a little bit yesterday as well, but if he needs a second MRI, and Dragan Bender was in his place, so we can touch on him, I guess, as well before we go into Devin Booker and possibly go into the Milwaukee preview real quick before. But as far as Chriss and Bender goes, and Chriss having his hip injury, how have you seen Dragan progress over these last few games? Dragan had a good game last night, even though it didn't show in the box score. He had 3 assists, 8 rebounds once again. He's, in Chris's absence, he's doing a lot better as far as rebounding goes. So if Chris is out for an extended period of time, what's your thoughts on that? And how do you think Bender's going to step up over that time? Because I feel like we mentioned yesterday, playing time and confidence with him is the main thing.
Yeah, I would expect him to continue to get that 30-ish minutes. I mean, there's no reason to think he won't. I think Triano only wants to play Peters in lineups that really make sense for him. When they need shooting, when he's going to be exposed on defense, and unfortunately just where he is as a player right now, he's kind of a tweener forward, and his only like big NBA skill is shooting at this point, so he can't really get on the court very well. That's another part of the reason that you're seeing Dudley play so much, is that they don't have a backup four right now, really, and they don't want to play Monroe with either one of the other big men. So just the way the rotation is, I think that's how it's going to have to continue to be. I thought Bender, yeah, he had a typically solid performance, I think, defensively. I think we've come to expect that from him at this point, right? But I don't know. I didn't notice anything from him particularly last night that stood out. I thought, I guess I didn't realize, I mentioned in the preview of last night's game, and this kind of goes into Warren and Jackson as well, that I thought that the Nuggets were still starting Plumlee and Jokic together. Obviously, for those who watched last night, they don't do that at this point. They've ridden Trey Lyles' hot streak and put him in a starting lineup, and he had a pretty decent night. Statistically, 15-7-2, but I just think the Suns, that was a really good matchup for them, because Lyles is such a smaller player that with the length that the Suns have really at every position, Jackson saw time on him. Bender obviously started out on him. And I thought that was, they were able to take advantage of Lyles. And I thought that kind of might go unnoticed just because he did score 15 points. But I was impressed with just how the whole team handled. I think some teams might struggle with Denver because of the weird matchup problems they present, and we can't not mention that Jamal Murray kind of went off last night, 5 threes, 10 of 17 from the floor for 30 points. But aside from him, I thought the Suns did a decent job of kind of getting guys out of rhythm across the Denver roster.
Yeah, definitely. Outside of Murray, who returned to the lineup and really went off to trying to prove a point against his former Kentucky mate in Booker and Ulis. But outside of those, they really held Gary Harris in check. I think last time they played, Harris had 36 points, and he definitely did not have close to that this time around. So it's a very good team win, as mentioned, probably a top three, top four win for the Suns so far this season. But bouncing real quick to Booker before we hit the Milwaukee preview, a quick number I pulled up last night because I was curious about this because Booker had another 35-5 game last night. Since Booker returned to the lineup on December 26th from his strained adductor injury against the Grizzlies, he leads the league right now in 35-5 games with five over that span. Russell Westbrook is second and with four, and then tie for third, we have a three-way tie with LeBron, Giannis, and Bradley Beal with two. So it seems like Booker's really thriving in this all-around Westbrook-Harden-type role that he's taken on usage easily above 30-35 almost every night. Just what's your thoughts on how Booker's been doing this? And once again, he had another great game last night.
Yeah, I think aesthetically, I'm sure we all are noticing that game to game, more like things are running through Booker. I think they have been all season, but I think just Triano's finally like letting him take over completely. And I don't just mean handling the ball. That obviously comes, a big part of it comes with that. If the ball's in his hands, it's going to feel more like he's kind of controlling things. But doesn't it just feel like when you watch a Thunder game or you watch a Rockets game, like those guys, like, you know, that's what you're worried about, that's what you're watching, that's who dictates really everything on their team's offense. And I just feel like for some reason, just whatever it is, he's really like been completely in control. I think Warren, now when his points are coming, a lot more of them are assisted by Booker. It's coming off of initial action that Booker's involved in. I just feel like for the past few games now, really since he returned from injury, it's like this is Booker's team in a really big and like visible way. I don't know if I'm just kind of like imagining that because he's been so good statistically, but something about like when I turn on the games now, it's so much more evident to me that everything's flowing outward from Booker.
For sure. I mean, I can ask you this because I know I've noticed this, but since he's returned, have you noticed a lot more that he's been the guy, like when they get the ball inbounds, Booker's the ball bringing the ball up the court. It's Ulis and Cannon more off ball. Because I know in October, November, we barely saw it. But nowadays, we're seeing about 60 to 70% of the time on possession.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting too. Like it just makes you, I just feel more like disappointed that the Suns don't have a better option. Because I really doubt that ideally if Triano had been able to build up in the summer what he wanted the team to look like around Booker handling the ball, bringing it up the court, I really doubt he would have said Isaiah Cannon's who I want in that other spot, the guard spot. But I mean, that's how it is for right now. But for sure, I think, and he just looks so comfortable. Maybe that's part of it too, is just, you know, for a while there, he was getting those opportunities, but it was still kind of fits and starts as far as finding that success. Now, it just, because it's so, you know, it's pretty much most of the game at this point, he's has the ball in his hands and he's doing everything. I think he's just gotten a lot more comfortable in that role. Maybe that's part of it too, is it just a little more smooth now when he's running things than it used to be. But whatever it is, I think it's been, I would say it's been good for the team.
Now, we spoke on this a little bit with the halfway stock reports, and we touched on a little bit when we spoke with the VP of B-Ball Ops, James Jones, and when I spoke with Pat Connolly before the game a couple times. But as far as we've touched on a lot since the story came out with Kevin O'Connor on the Ringer with the Harden-Booker comparison, how the primary ball handler, how the comparison between Booker and Harden is really not that far off anymore. And when someone asked about that, the press conference with James Jones, they said it was really like a wait-and-see approach with Booker at point guard. And that's really the same answer Pat Connolly gave me a couple times. So let's say Booker keeps doing this. He has 5 35-5 games in the last 2.5 weeks. So let's say he gets another 5 or maybe even 10 of those over the next couple game stretch. And really over these last few months, he continues to thrive in this role, like let's say 28-5-5 or something like that. What would you do if you're in McDonough's shoes at that point? Because now you have a guy that seems to be thriving in a primary ball handler role, but he was a natural shooting guard just a few months ago. But How would you go about building the roster around him, and really, how would you decide about going about that? Because I know Booker could be a primary ball handler, but he's also a very deadly Klay Thompson-like spot-up shooting guard if he wanted to be.
I think you just look for another combo. I think that's been what we kind of like we looked at in the draft. There's a lot of those guys, and then I think the way that the NBA is going, so many more guards are trying to work on their shot. There's not really room in the league, like you see on Suns, for a player like Tyler Ulis, who really wants to be a facilitator first and foremost. You have to be really, really elite at that to be able to stick on a team. And even, you know, I see somebody like Ricky Rubio in Utah not having the type of season that he probably would have hoped, or Elfrid Payton in Orlando. Those guys are going away, so I think you more have to look, especially with the developments Booker's made as a ball handler, like we've seen over the past few games, you have to find almost another player like him, maybe not somebody who's as good a shooter or scorer, just because those are so hard to come by, but somebody who can do multiple things on offense. Because if you pair two of those types of players together, I think that's what you see in somewhere like Golden State, where you know, not only can Klay shoot the lights out, and he's one of the probably the most devastating spot-up shooter in the league over the past, 20, 30 years. Like, nobody really can do what he can do, but at the same time, he can post up, and he can dribble and drive into the lane and get shots that way. He can draw fouls and do all those things, and obviously Curry's crazy and can do everything he can do. So those guys together can build up an offense in a different and unique way. I think the way the Suns look at things is to find somebody who fits with Booker like that, who can take some of the ball handling load off of him, can find shots for Booker rather than him having to create so much on his own. I think, honestly, to kind of tie it into a little bit, somebody like Jamal Murray could be – not that the Suns have no means of getting Jamal Murray. I don't mean Jamal Murray, and he's a really unique player because he's so big and shoot and things like that. But somebody like that makes a ton of sense to me, who is just another unique matchup problem, who can obviously handle the ball like that.
Now, I was obviously just trying to think in my head while you're talking about like comparisons there, and guys that you mentioned as far as the 2018 draft class, because it makes a lot of sense with how you're comparing who they should put next to Booker. Sounds a lot like Luka Doncic or a Trae Young. Do you feel like those types of guys really make a lot of sense next to Booker?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just because I'm thinking about Milwaukee, and I know Giannis is going to be out for the game, but those two guys together would be awesome. I just think like somebody like a bigger ball handler who can kind of create shots and pass well, that's sort of where I'm thinking. Doncic would be perfect, but I mean, he looks like he's going to go number one or two in the draft, so I don't know how good of a chance the Suns have. Those guys are unicorns in their own way as small players, but if I'm the Suns, I think, you know, there's players up and down this draft who kind of fit that mold, and that's where I would be looking.
Definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of versatile players in this draft class, and luckily the Suns have two, possibly three picks. The Milwaukee pick conveys between 16 and 18. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how McDonough and Pat Connolly and all those guys go about building this roster around Booker, because now they definitely have their franchise pillar in place. Now they have to work around it and create a roster around him. But any final points that we haven't brought yet from the Denver game, Brent, that you wanted to bring up?
No, I don't think so. I think we should not forget to mention that this was a pretty solid defensive performance from the Suns. Denver to 100 points. I think they scored in the 120s the last time these two teams met. But no, I think it was a surprise win. And now with Giannis out against Milwaukee, they have a decent chance in their next game to tack up another win. I mean, unless we get a massive Bledsoe revenge game, I think the Suns are looking at another opportunity to steal a victory.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun matchup as far as backcourts go, because Bledsoe, obviously, Milwaukee versus Booker, but also Chris Middleton went off against Phoenix the last time they were in the Valley of the Sun, and I think he had about 35, 40 points. I think he was the one that really helped them in that overtime win. So as far as Middleton goes, I know the Suns really struggle with guys coming off of screens, off of picks. So who would you go and put up against a guy like Chris Middleton, because he seems to be a guy that causes the Suns a lot of fit?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the starting lineup, it's probably – I can't think off the top of my head who Milwaukee is starting right now. I think it's Snell and Middleton together, so that would mean that Booker is probably guarding Middleton. That worries me, just because Middleton, not only because Booker has his disadvantages as a defender, but Middleton has a massive size advantage over Booker. So you're going to maybe see, Middleton played the four the last time these teams played in that really weird overtime game where Milwaukee had like eight guys dressed, it felt like. But I'm worried about Middleton, but I just think that if he's the only guy with Giannis out and only real scorer on that team at the point, that you still have enough options on the Suns where you're going to be able to probably at least keep it close on the road.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be a close game. Whether the Suns pull it out is a different question, because they usually are very consistent as far as they have a very big win and they usually disappoint the next game. But hopefully that's not the case this time around. But one final question, because now since the former Sun Eric Bledsoe is going to be the next team they face again, if Bledsoe was still on this roster, let's say he didn't force a trade or anything, but they didn't give him an extension, how different would the Suns roster look right now if Bledsoe was still on this? Because I feel like Booker obviously wouldn't be doing this, and I feel like a lot of these guys would look a lot different with Bledsoe here. Just positive or negatively, how do you think this team would look with Bledsoe still on the roster?
I'm actually not sure it would really be that much worse, like win-loss-wise, because I think they've overachieved. I really don't know that Eric Bledsoe could have made a massive difference where this team would be, 500 or like that. So in that way, I don't think too much different. But as far as like aesthetically, style-wise, I would say a lot of these guys probably not have made the strides that they as offensive players with the ball not being in their hands. Bledsoe's there kind of dominating it a little bit more, like Josh Jackson, Dragan Bender, even TJ Warren. I'm sure a lot of these players who have gotten used to getting their opportunities to create wouldn't have them. And so I think, though, the one thing, just to kind of tie it up, I think tomorrow we'll see again Bledsoe a much more cool role. If anyone's watched Milwaukee since he's gotten traded over there, I've just kind of jumped in here and there to see, because I'm so interested in how Bledsoe's fitting. It's been really, really solid. I think he's kind of come alive. They play in such an athletic and aggressive way, and that fits perfectly for him. So I think it's been a kind of a win-win as far as situations go for both sides here.
For sure, yeah. I think it's going to be a really fun game tomorrow, because Bledsoe versus Booker is always fun. The first one when they were here in Phoenix was a lot of fun to watch. So hopefully this time around in Milwaukee we get a really good game, because I feel like we're going to be seeing a very good performance out of both Booker and Bledsoe. So in the meantime, guys, we'll talk to you following the Milwaukee game. We'll see you soon.